AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock. I will be replacing Craig Mish in the host chair today. I will be joined by George Kurtz, our friend, our frequent flyer here on the program. You know, when I'm out for a day, when Craig wants to go, you know, watch the Marlins play in 97 degree heat down there, George subs in. We have a lot going on in the sports world today. You know, really these June and July months are kind of the peak of when we have, you know, professional sports going on. NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, NBA trades. We have the US Open going on right now. And George, how are you doing? How's the NHL playoffs progressing for your New York Islanders?
Well, I guess last night could have gone better, especially with a little different officiating call late in that second period there. I'm doing well. I love the Dak Prescott jersey in the background there. But you want to hear how my day is going? I had to go to the hardware store earlier today. And you might ask, well, why are you going to the hardware store? Well, because my oldest daughter demanded that I buy a doorknob with a lock for her door. Why? Because my youngest daughter goes into her room and takes things. So this is how my day went. I had to go to the hardware store, get a key lock thing, and install the damn thing so my oldest daughter will stop complaining to me. Good to be a dad. Fun.
Yeah. I don't know about the dad stuff, but I do know about going to the hardware store. I'm a new homeowner, so we just did the whole thing. I went to the hardware store, got new locks, you know, did the whole deal. We have a bunch of news to get here on the show. Last night, the Milwaukee Bucks did force a game 7 against the Brooklyn Nets. I was telling Craig on the show yesterday, you know, I felt pretty confident the Nets were going to close that one out. They did not. The Tampa Bay Lightning do take a 2-1 series lead over the New York Islanders in an extremely surprising move. Rick Carlisle is out as the Dallas Mavericks head coach after 13 seasons. That comes one day after Donnie Nelson, who has been with the organization for quite some time, was let go as general manager. Many people view this as a reaction to the Athletic article that came out earlier this week, in which it was basically posited that Haralambos Vulgaris, former professional gambler and now head data analysis guy at the Mavericks organization, basically feels as if there is a fractured relationship inside there. And again, another day, another Jacob deGrom story. We feel like we talk about Jacob deGrom on this show every single day. He gets an MRI. It comes back clean. The Mets say they're taking it day by day. George, what is going on with Jacob deGrom? Is he actually hurt? Or, you know, does he need 30 days off? Should he just be pitching every single day?
Now, I think it's somewhere in between, by the way. I don't think it's 30 days off, but the Mets have, a 4.5 game lead in the National League East. I know they're coming into a tough part of their schedule. A lot of doubleheaders coming up and stuff like that. But you have a 4.5 game lead. Why not give him 2 weeks off? Let him get over all of this stuff. It all seems to be minor, but you can't tell me that one's not connected to the other. that the shoulder didn't bother him because he's overcompensating for the last injury, to the elbow, to this, to that. The MRI comes back clean. But I love the Mets. The MRI comes, what did he pitch on Tuesday? The MRI comes back clean. Now we're going to throw him out there tonight, Friday, 3 days later. What are you doing? Are you not taking any precautions whatsoever? You know, I just don't get it. This is what, the third, fourth time he's had to miss, come out of a start early, miss a little bit of time here, or had his schedule interrupted? I just don't understand that. You're not four games behind. Okay, we got to throw him out there. We got to get back in this race. It's June. The season, this is not last year with a 60-game season. The season's over. You have 3.5 more months left. Give him half a month off. Let him have the rest of June off. Get healthy. Come back after July 4th, whatever it might be, before the All-Star break, and go from there. I think the Mets, this has been their history. This is what they do. It's a different ownership group, so it's just what, I don't know what the franchise believes in. Maybe it's what Alderson believes in. Push, 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 push. But it seems to me, sooner or later, Davis, they're going to regret this if he has to go on the IL, and it is long-term. Maybe it's 30 days, maybe it's 40 days, maybe it's 2 months. I don't understand it.
I mean, I guess from the outside looking in, you know, I am not a New York Metropolitans fan. The way it seems like looking in is that the team is actually more worried about DeGrom's health than he is. And I feel like it's kind of one of those things, and maybe you would probably be able to correct me on this, but it feels like if DeGrom was pitching in 1982, these injuries he had right now, he would be pitching through them. That, you know, these small little strains and pulls or whatever, he would just be pitching through them. And you know, maybe the right answer is like, hey, just take the reins off and let him pitch until he can't pitch anymore. I kind of feel like either giving him a nice long rest, you know, 30 days or whatever, or just having him pitch through these injuries. I feel like those are the two avenues the Mets should explore, but I feel like they're kind of going to middle it and have him, you know, maybe miss one start, but then come back, you know, a little bit too early.
It's strange. You're right about it, by the way. Yeah, back in the 80s, yeah, you're pitching through it. Didn't matter. They didn't take the precautions they do nowadays, but the players weren't making as much money back then as they are now, right? Now they make a ton. And generally, the organizations want to protect their investment. So they do give, you have a hangnail, what? Oh, take 10 days. And a 10-day IL, you know, if you have an off day, it's one start you're missing. That's it. You can finagle with just one start. Even if it's two starts, who cares? Get your – DeGrom's the best pitcher in baseball. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. Certainly top three if you do want to argue about it. Why are the Mets taking these chances? I don't understand it. He had to come out at the three innings. Yes, he struck out 8 of 9 batters, but he has a sore shoulder. That's a big thing in baseball. I would play it safe. I think the Mets can afford to play it safe. I would do it. I'm not saying a month. Like I said, I would cut the middle and probably about 2 to 2.5 weeks.
Yep. All right, guys, we have a full show coming for you. Jim Sannis pre-recorded later. NBA, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball DFS, Major League Baseball betting. We will see you guys in just a few minutes on the other side of break here on Fantasy Sports Today. Stay tuned to The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, giving Craig Mish a rest for today. And this is the part of the show where we bring in our producer, Brett Levy, to discuss the NBA because we're not gonna put George through that. We have some exciting stuff going on in the NBA right now. We have a Boston Celtics and Oklahoma City Thunder trade in which Kemba Walker is leaving the Celtics, Al Horford rejoining the organization for the cost of a first-round pick, some other minor stuff in there. Brett, I know that Kemba is your guy, so how are you feeling about this trade for Kemba Walker and the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for my guy Kemba. It's tough to feel bad for a guy that gets paid like Kemba Walker, right? But you feel bad for him because he just deserves better than a Thunder team that is, rebuilding right now. They are not competing to win. He went through basically carrying a Charlotte Hornets franchise by himself, where, Batum was the highest paid player on the team. Cody Zeller was making more money than Kemba. So they were not getting him very much help in Charlotte some of those years. Obviously, Cody Zeller, high lottery pick, so they invested a lot in him and believe in him. And he's a good NBA center, but not the same supporting cast as playing with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart and Robert Williams. So I feel for Kemba a little bit, but I'm sure Al Horford is very excited to be going back to a contender as he's leaving the league. Moses Brown seems like a lot of insurance. Robert Williams, a restricted free agent this summer, Davis. So I think you could say Robert Williams probably on his way out with the Moses Brown return. And you're really just thinking from a Celtics perspective, do you think there's someone better available at the 16th pick than Moses Brown? I'm not really sure. Moses Brown was pretty much a double-double every time he was on the floor last year in the NBA.
Yeah, Moses Brown was pretty solid. I mean, it's possible the Oklahoma City Thunder end up regretting that part of the trade, though I think from the Thunder perspective, I think this was pretty clear. The money difference between Kemba and Horford did not matter to them at all. So basically, it was like signing up for an extra first round pick, the number 16 overall pick, for taking on, an extra, I think it's $7.5 million per year. But we have real actual games being played in the association tonight. The 76ers are playing at the Atlanta Hawks. They can get closed out tonight. Atlanta leads the series 3-2. The 76ers are favored by 3 points on the road. I think they are rightfully favored here on the road. It really did feel like one of the most anomalous losses of all the anomalous Doc Rivers playoff losses. I do feel like that game 5-1 was just very bizarre. I am leaning the 76ers here, but it would not surprise me to see them crumble down the stretch. Brett, how are you feeling about this game?
Yeah, I mean, I like Philly tonight just because I think this is going to be a tough series. But I've really liked Atlanta since Embiid's knee injury came out. Knee injuries are tough, Davis. You're running, you're jumping, you're cutting all on your knees. So I think that affects the players a lot. And I was also, selling the Suns when Chris Paul's injury with his shoulder. Chris Paul was able to prove me wrong and get to the Western Conference Finals. We'll see if Embiid's able to do it, but I think this series goes seven. These have been really competitive games. People want to throw dirt on Ben Simmons, and then the next night they're trying to throw it on, Clint Capella. So someone's going to have a bad game, someone's going to have a good game. The point is trying to predict it, but I think Embiid in a closeout game with the series on the line, he's the best player in my mind in the series. Trae Young's making his case, but I'm going to back the best player in a do or die situation.
Yep, which is basically what I think as well. I mean, just in general, if that's your strategy in NBA games, you're probably going to do pretty good. A fascinating game unfolding here between the Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Clippers. This one is being played in Los Angeles. The Jazz right now are 1-point favorites. No Kawhi Leonard for the Los Angeles Clippers, but Donovan Mitchell is trending as a game time decision for the Utah Jazz. It was recently reported, Wojnarowski just reported, that Mike Conley is likely going to try and give it a go for the Utah Jazz tonight. But if both of those guys are out, are we going to have a Kawhi Leonard-less Los Angeles Clippers team sitting in the Western Conference Finals?
I mean, that's definitely possible. You would be surprised, right? But Paul George has, been the best player on teams to go to conference finals before. He did it twice in Indiana. Reggie Jackson has been unbelievable this series. You and I were talking about that off air the other day. But I definitely think it's possible the Clippers can close this out on their home court. And I would not have thought that, 3 weeks ago without Kawhi Leonard. You would have thought they needed both those guys. But the role players have stepped up for the Clippers. Tyrone Lue, a championship-winning coach, you know, definitely tons of playoff experience, and Los Angeles looked really good in the last game. So I'm not betting this one, Davis, because I could really see this one going either way.
Yeah, I think you are probably right. I mean, and we don't know right now. Like, if Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley both suit up, then you're feeling pretty good. If they both sit out, you're feeling pretty bad. So I think this one, you know, could definitely go in a lot of different directions. I think probably, honestly, what I'm rooting for is just multiple game sevens. I think obviously multiple game sevens is it's just good TV. That's what we want. Transitioning now over to the ice, we are down to the final four teams in the NHL, the Lightning, the Knights, the Canadiens, and the New York Islanders. We have both teams headed to the ice this week, one today, one tomorrow. Tonight, we have the Vegas Golden Knights against the Montreal Canadiens, George. The Golden Knights are minus 158 favorites, the Canadiens plus 134 on the money line, 5.5 total here. Series is tied 1-1. Give us a little bit of information on this game that's going to be played tonight.
Yeah, now the big news that's coming out now, it's come out about the past hours that the Canadiens head coach, Ducharme, he's isolating at home due to irregularities in his COVID testing. That seems to me they're hoping for a false positive there. That's what they're looking for there. So he may not be with the team tonight. They're going to have further testing, and it'll be updated later today. So we're about, what, 7 hours, 7.5 hours from game time here. We'll see how that works out. But that's interesting. Right, we've seen this happen before. During the playoffs, and I don't know if it was the NBA or the NHL, and the coach was able to coach. It was a false positive. We'll see what happens here. I'm not sure which way it's going to go. They split in Vegas, and now they go to Montreal. Montreal and the Islanders are very much the same team. They have to play from the goaltender on out. Carey Price has played fantastic in this series. He's played fantastic in the playoffs. He may be your Conn Smythe leader right now if the Canadiens were to win the Cup. He is that good. He made in his interview the other night that I'm making saves with every body part, every extremity is the word he used. I have. He's not kidding. He is. And he has to. Because if he's not on top of his game, Davis, they're not going to win. He has to be that good. He can't play as well as Marc-Andre Fleury. He has to play better. He has to be really the best player on the ice, game in, game out. And that sounds like a lot of pressure, but he doesn't feel it. He's just one of those people. It's a game to him. It doesn't bother him. So good for Carey Price. He's playing well. You know, in game one, the Canadiens controlled the first half of the first period but didn't score. If they would have potted a goal, we might be talking a 2-0 series lead for the Canadiens. They've played well enough to have a 2-0 lead. Listen, the crowd, they don't have full capacity. The crowd will be loud tonight. It'll give them an advantage. I think the Canadiens win tonight. I do, but it's going to be very close. I wouldn't touch it as far as betting either way unless you have a real feeling here. But I think it goes under. I'm leaning more towards the under here is what I like. I don't think many goals are going to be scored. I think it's a lot like last night's Islander-Tampa Bay game. We end up 2-1. I see the same thing here, 2-1, 3-2. We could get screwed by the empty net goal. That's what I worry about.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. A low scoring, you know, a classic NHL playoff game. Low scoring, lots of pushing and shoving, some goalies standing on their head. We are about to go to break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up, we have MLB games. The whole league plays on Fridays, of course. We have MLB DFS coming up and Jim Sannis in the second half. Stay tuned to Fantasy Sports Today and Sports Grid. See you guys in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by George Kurtz as we get to all of the baseball that we have going on. Giant slate in Major League Baseball. I always love this on Fridays. Pretty much every team in baseball is going to be playing on Friday unless there are extenuating circumstances. This is one of the things we lost last year during the COVID shortened season is we didn't learn to treasure these massive slates of baseball because we were inundated with baseball every single day over 60 days. We could not really get away from it. We have some great games highlighted for you here. Of course, we waited for the Yankees to start winning a couple games before we got George back on the show. They are highlighted here for us today. They are playing at home to the Oakland Athletics. They are -134 favorites on the money line. Oakland slight dogs +114. Total of 9 for this game. James Caprellian is starting for the Oakland Athletics. Jameson Taillon, who, by the way, I think is a little bit underrated. This kind of happens with guys who are top prospects, and then they struggle when they come up, and then they start to figure it out. Taillon, having a pretty decent season with his advanced numbers, has gotten very unlucky with run prevention thus far. George, get us in the mind of the Yankees. Are they going to take care of business at home today?
Well, it's an interesting game because Caprellian was the Yankee property. The Yankees traded him in the Sonny Gray deal. So there's that. I'm sure Yankees wish they had him back right about now, as Gray didn't work out here. So interesting in that. I look forward to seeing it, Caprellian. He's on a couple of fantasy teams of mine as well, deeper leagues, obviously. So we'll see. I think you're being kind, Taillon. The deeper numbers may say he's been okay. He's watching him, he has not been all that good. His last couple of starts, the problem is he doesn't have a put-away pitch. He has no problem getting the two strikes and then cannot strike them out, cannot get the out. We saw that big time against Boston last week. He just couldn't put the guys away over and over again. They're fouling pitches off, and it was just, it was frustrating. It was frustrating for him, and it was frustrating for fans as well here. So it's hard to trust him right now. The Yankees do seem to be playing better baseball. That being said, they're still having a ton of problems with men on base, both driving them in and getting them thrown out, as the Yankees lead the majors and getting guys thrown out on the bases. Brett Gardner thrown out last night, got caught between third and home. So it's an issue they've had all season long here. I think it's going to be I don't have really a great feeling tonight. It's hard for me, really hard for me to bet on the Yankees with Taillon on the mound here. It has gone up to -146 now, so the money is coming in on the Yankees. I would probably lean the other way. I think the value is with the A's here. I don't love it tonight because I don't know how Caprellian's going to pitch in his first game in New York, in Yankee Stadium. Could be a lot of pressure there either. This is a game where I don't like anything. The over-under at 9.5, I think, is a little rough for me as well here. I'm like, is just going to be a fan and watch the game.
How hot is it in New York? Are we talking, is it like a 90-degree day? Is that ball going to be flying out of the short porch?
Well, you don't need it to be hot for the ball to fly over the short porch, right? I mean, that's a joke what they have there. I really wish I understand Yankee Stadium. They've had it forever, but I wish they would have raised that a little bit. No, right now where I live, I'm on Long Island. I'm about 45 minutes from the Bronx. It's about 70, high 70s. 78, 79. It's going to get up to maybe 80, so it's not going to be hot. It will be hot this weekend, and tomorrow's going to be hot and humid. Same thing with Sunday, but a little less humid there. So the weekend allowed to fly a little bit more. The ball is flying a little bit more than today, but still, they won't have a problem getting the ball out at Yankee Stadium.
All right, now we move to the team from my neck of the woods. We have the St. Louis Cardinals, who are absolutely brutal right now. A lot of what we expected from their season, just really not coming through. 35-34. They are fourth place in that division, only not last place because the Pirates are there. They are up against, honestly, another disappointing team with the Atlanta Braves, who have a losing record, 31-35, 6.5 games back of your New York Metropolitans. I can confirm from looking at this total, it is awfully hot in Atlanta, a 9.5 total with Max Fried and Carlos Martinez on the mound. The Cardinals are dogs here, as they should be. Carlos Martinez, one of the most brutal pitchers in baseball this year. And I guess Max Fried is a little bit interesting from a wagering perspective because we don't have a great feel as to how much he has recovered from his injury. Only pitched 50 innings thus far, has not been nearly as good as he was last season. You know, Carlos Martinez can't strike anyone out. Can't get his fastball in the zone. The changeup's not working. Nothing really is working for Carlos Martinez. Do you have a side on this game, George?
And the Cardinals got almost no hit. Well, maybe almost a little too strong. 6 1/3 innings before Goldschmidt broke it up for Charlie Morton last night. So we'll see if they rebound today. I agree with everything you said. I agree with. I think it's a little, once again, not the easiest game to bet. Certainly, if I did place one, it wouldn't be a large amount. I do lean towards the Braves here, you know. But you're right about Fried. Not quite the pitcher he was last year. You know, where not that he was never going to be in that DeGrom Cole category, Scherzer or anyone like that. But he could have been the next tier down, maybe tier and a half down. But he's not quite there. And this year, he's been another level down beyond that. Maybe it's the injury. Maybe he just hasn't had the innings yet to build it up. You know, for him, this might still be more of a early May than mid-June right now. So I do, like I said, an edge towards the Braves. I'm not going to have anything on the totals here. And I'm not going to bet a strikeout prop with either one of these guys either. A strikeout prop is probably my favorite prop to bet. But with two games we've mentioned right now, we're 0-4. I'm not taking any of those props.
Well, I mean, I certainly think you could go the under on the Carlos Martinez prop, and I feel like that would be pretty safe wagering because this dude, he absolutely cannot get any strikeouts. So our final game here, we have the Cincinnati Reds at the San Diego Padres. This is, you know, I think a pretty fascinating game because the Cincinnati Reds are absolutely red hot. They have been crushing the ball. Now, granted, they also have played in Coors Field and at Great American Ballpark over the last 2 weeks of the season. So a little bit of that Jesse Winker magic, that Nick Castellanos magic, Joey Votto coming back from the IL and hitting home runs. I definitely think you can source that to, you know, the stadiums that they've been playing at. They now travel to San Diego. They are huge dogs on the money line, plus 188. The San Diego Padres, minus 225. The total is 8.5. Chris Paddock is starting for the San Diego Padres. And then Tony Santillan, who is a very young guy, the age of 24, only made 6 starts in AAA before getting called up this year. Looks like pretty much your prototypical young starting pitcher. Lots of strikeouts, lots of walks, struggled with run prevention, at double A. But, you know, I think some unknown upside there. How are you feeling about Reds versus Padres? I mean, we have a huge underdog here.
This was a fun game to watch last night. It was 2-1 Padres going into the ninth inning. Melanson blows the save, really blows it. Not only did they tie it, they took the lead on the India home run here. And then the bottom of the ninth, Hosmer hits a 2-run homer to tie the game. And then I think it was Carantini who hit the game-winning 2-run shot in the bottom of the ninth. Fun ninth inning if you were watching the game there. Now, this when you look at the our graphic there with minus 225, the smart money would have been go with Cincinnati. It's what the value is. You weren't going to bet on San Diego unless you're going to have a parlay partner, which is what I'm going to do tonight. But it has come down now. As once again, the money went on the Cincinnati Reds. That's where the value is. We're at minus 200 here. I'm going to have the Padres tonight. It's hard to trust a younger pitcher. I don't know how they're going to pitch. You know, we don't know much about the kid. He's not Hunter Green. All right, he's not that kind of guy there. So I'm going to have I'll be on San Diego, but it'll be in a parlay. I generally, once we get to a $1.60, $1.65, anything over 175, I need poly parlay. I need to get that line down a little bit here. So I'll be on the Padres to win the first 2 games of the series, but give me somebody else with them.
Yeah, you know, I like that. I mean, that is actually probably something that Craig and I should talk a little bit more about is parlays because, you know, for a long time, parlays were like everyone did them, right? You just do parlays. And then when sports betting analysis got a little bit sharper, everyone was like, oh, you know, you're not getting paid enough based on the odds. It's not that sharp. But actually, you know, there is this truism about parlays, which it allows you to get more volume down because effectively what you're doing is you are, you know, let's say I want to bet on the Milwaukee Brewers tonight, which I actually do at minus 196 against Andrew Senzatella in Coors. And I bet $25 on the run line at minus 125. Then I take my winnings from that wager and I'm able to place it on, let's say, the Los Angeles Dodgers run line against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then all of a sudden I have a $45 wager. Right. And it's kind of a way to artificially increase the wagers on, you know, on games in which you have a strong lean. I want to get your opinion real quick, though, on Brewers Rockies. Andrew Senzatella pitching at home for the Rockies plus 164. The Milwaukee Brewers minus 196. I actually like to take elite starting pitchers going in Coors because I feel like they're not quite juiced enough.
Woodruff didn't do all that well yesterday, right? He's a pretty much elite. It is Burns today. I can't pay that price. And I I haven't, even when it's not, it won't be my poly parlay partner because I just don't trust Coors. You just don't know how it's going to play. You know, his fastball should be his fastball, but if his secondary stuff doesn't move because of Coors, then he's going to get hit. And the Rockies are a completely different team, completely different at Coors. This is another game because it's Burns and he could be good. Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm not going to touch the over under either. I'm going to leave it alone. And then we throw in this other stuff about now the not even the sticky stuff, the spider attack and all this other. I don't know what's going to happen with these pitchers. You know, how are they going to have the same stuff? Are they going to throw as hard, spin rates down? The ball's not going to move as much. It's just, it's almost like we have to redo everything we've been doing completely different from April. And we have to do it all over again now to get reacclimated to how these guys are going to pitch.
Yeah, no, that is a very good point. Plenty of wagering options over on the FanDuel Sportsbook today. A couple of other ones I like, the Los Angeles Dodgers run line against Caleb Smith and the Arizona Diamondbacks. I also like the San Francisco Giants -132 with Johnny Cueto on the mound against Vince Velasquez. When we return, George and I are going to take a look over at the DFS slate over on FanDuel. Going to go through some of the top pitching options. Going to talk about some of the stacks. Second half of the show, we have Jim Sanis coming on to talk NASCAR and some fantasy football discussion. See you guys in just a few moments on the other side of break here on Sports Grid TV.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Now we're going to transition to a preview of the FanDuel MLB DFS slate here on Friday, June 18th. We have a full 15-game slate. Not every day, you know, not all that often do we get a full 15 games. You know, a lot of the times on Friday, we have the Chicago Cubs playing their famous Wrigley Friday afternoon game. So we have the full 15-game slate here. We have, of course, a Coors Field game. We have one of the Dodgers aces taking the mound. A lot of stud starting pitching going on today. A bunch of guys priced above 10,000. We have some rookies making their debuts or their second start. So lots of options to be had in this slate. Transitioning to starting pitcher. Certainly, there are a lot of talented guys going tonight. Corbin Burns, one of the best pitchers in baseball up until this point, is pitching at Coors Field tonight. But as George just mentioned in our last segment, Brandon Woodruff did not do so hot against the Colorado Rockies in Coors Field. Look, it's hot in Colorado. The air is thin. You give up a little bit of hard contact to Trevor Story or Raimel Tapia, and that ball is absolutely flying up there in the thin mountain air. I highlighted Trevor Bauer here. He costs $10,500 on FanDuel. We have him projected for 7.5 strikeouts tonight against Arizona. I have to say, Arizona, basically the worst hitting team in baseball, fired their hitting coaches. I think Trevor Bauer is going to be extremely popular tonight. Jose Berríos, he is priced much lower, only $9,000 against the awful Texas Rangers, who simply cannot hit right now. Yusei Kikuchi, up against the Tampa Bay Rays. We have him projected for 6.5 strikeouts. Always kind of a hard guy to figure out, Kikuchi. He throws 5 pitches. He throws them all for strikes, but he does not throw very hard. So if he's up against a team that just happens to be seeing those pitches very well one night, It's just you're not tricking that many people with a 91 mile an hour fastball and an 85 mile an hour changeup. And then the final guy that I have on my list here is Max Fried, who we talked about in the first segment of the show. You know, a guy who was kind of transitioning to be in that second tier of very good starting pitchers in baseball, suffered the injury. We are still kind of waiting to see what he actually is. But it's 7,800 against the St. Louis Cardinals. I've made worse bets in my life. How are you feeling about these starting pitcher options for tonight?
Now, there are a lot of top names, but I don't know if I'm just being a negative Ned here, but I got problems with most of them. You mentioned Trevin Bauer, who really hasn't been the same pitcher of late. The question, once again, are we talking because of the sticky stuff that he can't use it anymore? You know, his strikeouts haven't quite been there. He's got 23 strikeouts over his last four starts here, which is a low fam. It's averaging about six a start. So I have some issues there. I think also the Dodgers, what I've noticed with Bauer, sometimes they leave him in an inning too long, which is frustrating because he seems to get beat up, and that's why they take him out that inning. He goes that seventh inning, and he gives up a couple of runs there. So it's been a problem there. Other guys, I just don't like their matchups. I'm a Carlos Rodon guy, but I can't go have him against Houston tonight. Houston's got, at least two home runs in eight straight games? No, thank you. I'm not going Burns in Colorado. That's not happening. Are the Mariners really going to beat Rays back-to-back? Kikuchi's interesting to me, but I don't think I can pull that trigger. I do kind of like Berrios. You mentioned him, and I think I'm on board there. I like Robbie Ray a lot, too, but I'm not spending $11,000 tonight. Caprellian against the Yankees, no thank you. Fried is that lower-end guy. Do I want to save some, couple thousand dollars and hope that he pitches well against the Cardinals? I mentioned they only got one hit last night. And how about Cobb? Cobb has been a pretty solid pitcher. If Arizona is not the worst hitting team, then it's Detroit. They're not a good hitting team. They're hitting better of late. No doubt they're hitting better of late. But I'm going to have Cobb, probably not my main lineup. That I think will be Bauer. But I'm going to have Cobb in some lineups tonight just because I want to save money somewhere and spend it on hitting.
Yeah, I actually like that Cobb call. He is a big favorite. Remember he had that huge strikeout game his first start of the year. People were feeling pretty optimistic about him. Detroit is basically the best matchup that you're going to find for a starting pitcher. Moving over to catcher / first base. No catchers made our list today, but I guess we have a former catcher in Carlos Santana who made the list here. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the best hitter in baseball right now, having one of the most insane seasons that you are ever going to see. Daniel Vogelbach playing in cores against Andrew Senzatella. Miguel Sano, 3,300. I tell this to Craig all the time. No one gives this guy any credit. He's hitting 190, which sucks, but he is one of the best isolated slugging guys, pure power guys in baseball. No one ever plays him, priced at 3,300. I think he will be rather low-owned tonight. And then we have Carlos Santana against Nick Pivetta, who I am basically going to spend the rest of my life trying to stack against Nick Pivetta and waiting to get rewarded for that because I don't believe in the results he is getting at all. George, how are you feeling about the first base position tonight?
All right. Now, so you want to go Guerrero, that's fine. He is the best hitter in the game right now. I'm probably not going to go there just to save some money. I like Matt Olson tonight. Yankee Stadium, we talk about the short porch, and Olson's been about as hot as anyone. I think he's been as hot as Guerrero of late here. So I'll take my chance against him mentality on there that he hasn't figured it out. Now, listen, we always look at Colorado, right? Can we go to Colorado tonight in a stack? No, I'm not going to stack against Burns. How about Milwaukee? You mentioned Vogelbach. So certainly somebody I'll look at, but if I'm going to spend $3,700, it's going to be on Olson, not Vogelbach for me. That's just how I'm going to lean there as far as that's concerned. I have some interest in Alonso tonight for the Mets, but once again, I'm not saving enough there to really go for him. I just don't see it. Does anybody ever go with a catcher in this position? I mean, I don't even say that as a joke. I don't think I've gone with a catcher all year long. There has to be a catcher who's really just killing it for me to go to a catcher over a first baseman. I mean, really just killing it there. So I don't see myself ever doing that. Miguel Sano is someone else I like tonight at 3,300.
Yeah. Every once in a while you see a catcher. When Yermin Mercedes was crushing the ball to begin the year, every once in a while you'll see a Will Smith thrown in there for the Dodgers. But it is not very often. I actually like that FanDuel did this because, on other DFS platforms, you have to use the catcher position. And catchers, they don't hit the ball all that well. So what's the use? Moving to the second base position now, we have my guy, Marcus Semien. Always crushing the ball. I mean, has just been one of the best hitters all year long. The Blue Jays are going to be extraordinarily popular tonight. Heavy right-handed lineup against a left-handed Bruce Zimmerman. They're playing in Baltimore. Hotter than the Dickens out there. They have a 5.7 implied run total. Louis Urias leading off in Coors. My guy, Ty France. I just love this guy. Facing off against Michael Wacha has been batting cleanup for the Mariners. And then Craig's guy, Jazz Chisholm, has the matchup against Zach Davies, one of the worst strikeout pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. Jazz is one problem at the plate, is striking out a bit too much, so feel pretty good about that matchup tonight. George, how are we feeling about second base?
I like all your guys here. Any one of these guys would be happy with. Ty France is someone who's definitely on my list, along with Craig's guy Chisholm there, about as hot as you can come. Once again, Ty France hit some long balls, at a home run last night, so against Wacha, and I don't think Waka's going to go long, which is not generally a good thing, because then you get the hard throwers in the Tampa Bay bullpen here. But yes, Jonathan Villar for the Mets is another guy, steals some bases here, gets you those little points. Generally, Davis, this is what I've been looking for at second base. It seems like all season. Sometimes we draft a power, we want the home run. But second base, I've been drafting, I just want to give me some little points. Give me a single here, a stolen base there, run scored. Whit Merrifield is like perfect for this. And a chance that you might hit a home run, but I know you're probably not. Just give me some little points. Don't give me the over. That's what I'm looking for here. So with Jonathan Villar, I think he's that perfect guy that I can look for there. But I'm probably going to have Ty France in a lot of lineups tonight.
Yeah, there we go. Ty France. George, I knew we did the right thing having you on the show. You know, Craig's always making fun of me for my Ty France stuff, so I'm glad. Third base, Rafael Devers, Ryan McMahon, Ke'Bryan Hayes, Kyle Seager, like all those names. Seager just always a guy I kind of like. Ke'Bryan Hayes, I just want to be rostering him on all these slates. Think he's fantastic. Think he's very undervalued. How are we feeling about third base here?
I'm not feeling great about third base. All right, now I love Ke'Bryan Hayes as well. I've got him in a bunch of my fantasy leagues, but he's not hitting all that great. He's got a hit here, hit there, but not doing much damage with those hits. So I don't think he's going to be in my lineup tonight. Devers, of course, we all love Devers. He could be an MVP candidate the way he's playing. And maybe that's where I go tonight. Maybe I'm going, since I saved money at other positions, didn't pay for the pitcher, I can now put Devers in my lineup tonight to solve my third base problem. Because McMahon, love him, but I'm not going to have him against Burns. No, thank you. Seager, how many Mariners do I want to have? We're not talking a great hitting team here. If I don't see myself having France and Seager. I don't think that's going to happen. If I have France, I'm going to have to look someplace else there. So I think tonight I'm going to spend up. And if I don't spend on Vladimir, who also qualifies at third, Devers is going to be the man.
There we go. All right, real quick, shortstop here, Trey Turner. Always love Trey Turner. We got Javi Baez, who, again, I always love. I think that he does a very good job for DFS. And then I got some cheaper options in here just because we haven't covered any cheaper options yet. I have Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He always leads off. And then Nico Goodrum, just power and speed. His batting average is terrible, but a guy who, I mean, look, Nico Goodrum has 12 home runs and 5 steals. You want to talk about a guy who can get a combo meal? Our dude Nico Goodrum there at 2,200. I have certainly played worse punts. Are you seeing anyone else here at shortstop who looks interesting?
How about Gavin Lux? If we're going for a choice, once again, a cheaper option here. I know the Dodgers are a little beat up, you know, but he's batting at the top of the order now. You need him to run into one. That's really what you look for. He had to run into one, but he's playing much better of late. I think the confidence is there that he's playing every day. I think the injuries to the other players have sort of helped him. He's in the lineup each and every day here. If you're looking for a cheaper option, I'm going to go Gavin Lux tonight.
There we go. I'm a huge Gavin Lux fan, so I'm completely on board there. Moving to the outfield, of course, Christian Yelich in Coors Field against Senzatella was going to make the list. Our guy, Shohei Ohtani. The Angels have a 5.3 run total tonight against Jose Urania. Got to get Ohtani in there. Randy Arozarena has the platoon advantage tonight against Yusei Kikuchi. Not as big of a team total, but I'm a big fan of Arozarena's game. Trey Mancini playing in that aforementioned extremely hot weather out there. In Baltimore, we have him with the platoon advantage against Robbie Ray. And then finally, my guy, one Mr. Joseph Gallo, who actually is playing a little bit better than you think this year. Actually has 6 stolen bases. Not going to be popular at all against Jose Berríos. Run me through the outfield, George.
All right, now if you're going to play Ohtani tonight, just make sure he's in the lineup for the Angels. Sometimes the day after he pitches, he takes the day off. With Ohtani, it's almost always you have to make sure he's in the lineup there. I guess with everybody, you should make sure they're in the lineup. But if you're going to bank on him, once again, check that tonight. You're right about Yelich, of course, if you want to fit him in there. I'm probably not going to go Yelich. I'm not going to pay the price for Coors for someone who hasn't been really driving the ball all that much this season. So I'm going to keep my love there down. I do like Mancini tonight against Robbie Ray. As you said, you're playing in Camden. We know the ballpark's a joke there, plus the heat, and you get the platoon advantage there. So, yeah, I'm going to like Mancini a bunch tonight, too. The outfield is where I'm going to look for my power. I'm going to look for the guys to hit the home runs tonight. That's where I think I have to make up my points.
Yeah. I am definitely on board. In terms of stacks tonight, I think there are certainly a couple different ways you could go. Some of the ones we really like over at Daily Roto, obviously we are big fans of the two teams in Coors, but the Toronto Blue Jays against Bruce Zimmerman, the Los Angeles Dodgers against Caleb Smith, think that one will be a little bit low owned. I think the Atlanta Braves against Carlos Martinez are definitely going to go under-owned. The Minnesota Twins in Texas. Hope the roof is open. Obviously, if you're stacking the Twins, you can find that information. We'll send that out an alert over on Daily Roto. Heading into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, quick update on the U.S. Open and the European Championships. Then we'll dig into some more of our headlines. Hour two, Jim Sanis will come on the show. Some fantasy football. See you guys on the other side of break just in a few moments here on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. We got a jammed pack news updates for you here. Since Craig is gone, I'm allowed to talk about the soccer. We had a 1-0 Sweden win over Slovakia this morning. Croatia and the Czech Republic are at halftime. The Czech Republic got a very soft penalty right before halftime. Patrick Schick got fouled in the box. Cooley slotted home the penalty, so we have the Czech Republic leading over Croatia 1-0 at half. The U.S. Open Championship is also being played right now at Torrey Pines. Russell Henley remains your leader, 4 under par. Richard Bland, Louis Oosthuizen, Francesco Molinari, and Rafa Cabrera-Bale are all 3 under par. John Rahm is 2 under par. He is through 6 holes at this point. Patrick Cantlay looking like a guy we would be interested in betting live on the FanDuel Sportsbook. He is 1 under par, as is Rory McIlroy. George, are you following the U.S. Open Championship? Are you a golf guy? Do you have some wagers in at Torrey Pines this week?
I like to play golf. I like to hit the little ball and see if I can find it. Nothing more frustrating than playing golf, but I don't follow it, no. Every now and then, maybe I'll turn it on, but there'd have to be nothing. I mean, really, nothing else for me on or for me to do to turn golf on. I enjoy playing it. It's the most frustrating sport I've ever played in my life. Many colorful four-letter words will come out of my mouth while playing, but I don't follow it on TV, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, this specific event – it's the only golf we get that is on in primetime, which is the only reason why they play it at Torrey Pines. I mean, they already play another event at Torrey Pines. There are better courses they could be playing at. I actually think that some of the great Midwestern courses that are, built into forests and into canyons and things like that would make for great television as well. But of course, the U.S. Open producers love that they can put, Tiger and Rory and those guys on at TV at, 7 o'clock Eastern time. They enjoy those time zone differences. In the second half of the show, we have a fantasy football mock draft segment. George and I going to be going to war over a couple selections. We, of course, have Jim Sanis joining the show with Craig in order to discuss the Ally 400 outright odds. Stay tuned to Fantasy Sports Today and Sports Grid TV for all of the updates you need, all the fantasy sports content. See you guys in a few moments.